Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are joined for the next hour by John Perkins. We will have open phones, but specifically for questions for him on the economy, on how the international banking cartel operates, on the things they do. We are simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. I remember interviewing John Perkins before his book was on the New York Times bestseller and became a, I think, number one, didn't it? And then he's got a new book coming out, and we just really appreciate him coming on the show. John Perkins has lived four lives as an economic hitman, as the CEO of a successful alternative energy company who was rewarded for not disclosing his EHM past, as an expert of indigenous cultures and shamanism, a teacher and a writer who uses experience to promote ecology and sustainability while continuing to honor his vow of silence about his life as the EHM. And it just goes on from there. You know, John Perkins, it's probably better that you haven't been on with us in a few years. Introduce yourself, tell your story, you know, in kind of an encapsulated version in the next 10, 15 minutes, and then let's get into your expert take from the inside on what the international banks are doing right now. You know, their own IMF and World Bank documents state that they are engineering these collapses to bring in greater control. John Perkins, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be with you again, yes.
You got the floor. We're about to break in a few minutes, but tell folks about your saga, who you are, and...
Okay. Well, I was an economic hitman, and I think it's fair to say that we economic hitmen have managed to create the world's first truly global empire. And for the first time in history, it's an empire that's been created primarily without the military, through economics, through people like me. And we work many different ways, but perhaps the most common is that we will identify a third world country that has resources our corporations covet, like oil, and then arrange huge loans to that country from the World Bank and its sisters. But the money doesn't actually go to the country. Instead, it goes to our own corporations to build big infrastructure projects in that country, things like power plants, highways, and industrial parks that benefit a few wealthy people in that country, as well as our own corporations, of course, but don't help the majority of the people at all because they're too poor to buy the electricity, to have cars to drive on the highways. They don't have the skills to get jobs in industrial parks. But they are left holding a huge debt. The whole country is. It's a debt so large that it can't possibly be repaid. And so at some point, we economic hitmen go back into that country and say, listen, you owe us money, you can't pay your debts, give us a pound of flesh. Sell your oil real cheap to our oil companies, or vote with us on a United Nations vote that's critical, or send troops in support of ours to someplace in the world like Iraq. And on the few occasions when we economic hitmen fail, Alex, and I talk in my books about how I failed with Jaime Roldós, president of Ecuador, and Omar Torrijos of Panama. When we fail, then the jackals go in. And these are people that either overthrow governments or assassinate their leaders. Because I couldn't bring Roldós of Ecuador and Torrijos of Panama around, I couldn't get them to accept these large, onerous loans. Both of them were assassinated by CIA-sponsored jackals. And on the few occasions when the jackals also fail, which is what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, that both the economic hitmen and the jackals were unable to get through to Saddam Hussein, on those few occasions then and only then do we send in the military. And so we have this empire today. It's a global empire that's been created pretty secretly because most of us aren't aware that this sort of thing is going on. And it's the world's first truly global empire, been created primarily without the military and in secret.
Well, John Perkins, when we come back after this quick break, let's get into, you know, kind of encapsulating the Economic Hitman book that is very important for folks to get and read, and your experience inside the system so people know the past in a little bit more detail, and how they recruited you, how they operate. And then we'll look forward to what's happening currently today with John Perkins. Confessions of an Economic Hitman is our guest, johnperkins.org. is the website. I'm Alex Jones. Our sites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, because these bankers, these oligarchs, are creating a global prison planet. That's the whole goal of this thing. We'll talk about it with John Perkins on the other side. Stay with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live for stations that just joined us. We're now into our second segment with John Perkins, best-selling New York Times best-selling author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And John Perkins, johnperkins.org, reintroduce yourself for some stations that just joined us. Recap, you know, basically your life, how you got involved working for the big international banks in the takeovers of countries. And, you know, secondarily, what was it like when you wrote your book? Did you know it'd be a, you know, number one bestseller? What has it been like since then? And then let's move into your expertise on how the world really works in view of what's happening currently with the globalist takeover to the banking system.
Okay, Alex, I'd be happy to do that. And incidentally, the answer to the last question about what's going on now, I have a new book coming out in early November, which addresses that. Its working title is Hoodwinked. I don't know whether that'll be the final title, but I'd really encourage people to subscribe to my newsletter. Just go to johnperkins.org, newsletter, you know, sign-up list, and sign on, and we'll let them know when the book's out and what the title, because it goes into these subjects. I was recruited by the National Security Agency, the nation's largest and most secretive spy organization, back while I was my last year in college in Boston. I went through a whole series of lie detector tests and other tests, and they determined that I would make a good economic hitman, and they also found that I had several hooks that they could use to really encourage me to come in. I think that three big drugs of our culture, I was kind of hooked on sex, power, and those are the big ones, sex, power, and money. And they determined all that and that they could get me into the fold. It's a long story. It's written up in Confessions in some detail. But eventually, I ended up working for a private organization, Charles T. Maine. I became their chief economist. And all of this sort of work now is done not through employees of the government directly, but through outside consultants, through, you know, it's farmed out to other companies. So the government isn't actually playing any active role. So if I ever get caught, they wouldn't blame the government. They would just blame another dirty business.
So there's corporate surrogates that they use.
Correct, correct. And, of course, this was back in 1970. It's become much more prevalent today than it was then. But even then, in this particular case, and I tell a story about the first economic hitman, Kermit Roosevelt, who went in and overthrew a government in Iran. And he was a CIA agent. He was very successful at what he did. But very soon after that, they decided that it shouldn't be a government agent. A CIA agent should be someone working for a private corporation. So that's where I came in. And my job really was to corrupt presidents and other top officials of countries that had resources that our corporations covet, oil being one of the biggest ones, but there are many others also. And to really corrupt these people, to get them to accept huge loans for their countries, loans that would basically bankrupt the country, wouldn't be used to really help the majority of the people, would be used to hire U.S. corporations to build big infrastructure projects like power plants in their country that would help a few wealthy families who own the big industries and the commercial establishments. But the whole country would be left holding a huge debt they couldn't repay. So at some point we go back in and say, since you can't repay your debts, give us your oil real cheap or vote with us on the next U.N. vote or something like that. And when we weren't successful, and I mentioned in the book my situation in Ecuador with the president there and also in Panama, I was not able to corrupt those two men, Roldos and Torrijos, and so they were taken out. They were assassinated by CIA-sponsored jackals. Once again, contract consultants, security consultants who were contracted assassins, not directly by the CIA. And in that way, we've really managed to create this empire. The few occasions when the jackals and the economic hitmen are unsuccessful, like in Iraq, then we send in the military. And, of course, the military is always in the background. These people all know this. So today, the president of Afghanistan and Pakistan, they all know the deal. And they know that if they don't play the game with us on one level or another, they're going to go. And incidentally, Alex, our own presidents have to understand this, too. A guy like Obama now is taking a lot of criticism from his supporters, and a lot of it's very deserved. But I think one of the things that's important for us to understand is that our own presidents have been assassinated in my lifetime, and it's a constant threat. And so that makes it all the more important that we, the people, keep demanding change. We've got to keep the pressure on our politicians. We've constantly got to pressure them. We've got to put pressure on a guy like Obama so he can turn around and say to the CIA or whoever he's answering to at this particular point in time, listen, you guys, I got to do this because the people are demanding it. That's very, very important. That's
absolutely. John Perkins, you know, I think what you just said is really the central spoke to all of this. and that is the United States is captured by this system. Western Europe, England, Canada, Australia. As Westerners, we tend to think of ourselves as elitists, that we're kind of part of the establishment. I've talked to a lot of good old boys who are upper middle class, who are millionaires, that feel like they're actually part of the elite. And they're like, yeah, we staged some terror attacks. Yeah, I know about what Kermit Roosevelt did, staging terror attacks in Iran. But you know, that's how we win. That's how we get things done. But we're losing our freedoms and liberties here as well. We're financing these international corporations and banks to go give these loans to build infrastructure, which they themselves then own at our expense. And then those third world nations and old world nations rightfully hate us, and we get the blame for it, when really we're being drug along by the system as well. So this globalist corporate system, a crony capitalism, I guess